used there for did great privilege. It is a privilege I don't take for granted for believing in me. You have been such a huge blessing since I know you, a servant of God, humbled and rewarded with the word of God. The Lord will continue to increase you and expand to you in the mighty name of Jesus. I also want to extend my greetings to the leadership and mother in Israel. God bless us. Can we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you. Thank you for another privilege. You have brought us into your presence that you might make known your will and your counsel concerning us at this moment, so that we can secure the future you have created for us. I submit myself under your lordship, and I bring every heart under your government, and that the frequency of heaven will be open to everyone, and that beyond my words, each one will hear your spirit touching their private issues, that there will be clarity of understanding, and dreams and vision will be interpreted, that men will hear you and know what to do next, and at the end of the day, your name alone will be glorified, and our life will be magnified in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So the topic I was given is running with your vision. Running with your vision. I will just read a Bible portion. I know we are ministers. Actually, I did not ask a pastor the range of people that I make up the fellowship. So I will spread it just beyond pulpit ministry to other areas of our college. So I will read Habakkuk chapter 2. I will read from verse 1 to 3. Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me. I want to ask a question. Do we see what is said? Or we hear? Are we together? Do we see what is said, or we hear what is said? So this place said, I will stand and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Praise the Lord. I want to start by saying that you, as an individual, you are God's vision. You are God's divine project. You are God's target mission. There was something that was in the heart of God. There was a mission that God was called out to achieve. And in his mind, he figured out that mission and crafted you as an individual, as a manifestation of that vision. So the first thing we need to understand that is that you are not an accident. You are God's deliberate crafted vision. So the essence of our life, the reason for our life, the worth of our life, the value of our life, the essence of our life is tied to that vision. So if I miss that vision, it means that I become irrelevant. It means that I am of no value. So the first thing is understanding that I am God's vision. So the running from the vision, running with the vision, starts from you laying hold of that vision, you understanding that vision. Hallelujah. So I want to make a comparison of three things. There are three things that are related to vision. Two things that are related to vision. You talk about purpose. You talk about vision. You talk about destiny. You can successfully deal with any of the three without connecting the other. So when you are talking about purpose, you are talking about the reason for existence. The divine assignment your life is to accomplish. That person God created you to be. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul likened us, the body of Christ, which is the church, as the human body. He said, in the human body, there are many parts. You have the head, you have the eye, you have the leg, you have the intestine, you have every part. And each part exists for a particular purpose. So that vision, so the purpose is the why. Then the vision is the revelation of that purpose. So you can have purpose, but you don't have the revelation. So that image, that pictorial awareness, this is who I am. This is what I am. That is vision. Then the pursuit of vision, according to your purpose, will land you in destiny. So the destiny is all that you're supposed to be in life. If I correctly pursue the vision of God according to the purpose of God, there are divine possibilities. There is a kind of person I'm supposed to become. There are attainment, achievement, impact, values I'm supposed to add to bring to life if I correctly pursue the vision according to purpose. I will fulfill it. So, having understand these three things, I want to look at four necessary foundation that any believer must have to successfully pursue his vision. We are talking about running with the vision. We've just established that one, the vision must be there before you talk about running. So we are talking about what are the necessary ingredients, foundation that must be in place that a man can say, I'm running a purpose. So I will start with number one, the what of the vision. The what. So any vision you cannot define, you don't have details of that job description, you can't identify it, you don't know the details about it, what it constitutes, then you can't run that vision. So you see that every man in secular world, in this, I'm talking about in the kingdom, in the Bible, that was successful in the accomplishment of his vision, destiny or purpose, was able to have a clear revelation to receive from God what the details of that vision was. You talk about Moses. God called Moses in Exodus chapter 3. He said, this is the purpose I'm sending you to Egypt. Go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That was the definition of his vision. So all that Moses existed, all that he did and did not do, was centered on addressing Pharaoh to let the people. God didn't tell him, because we are getting to the word. We are talking about the word. So there was a clear vision when he left the backside of the forest, the desert, to Egypt. There was a clear understanding of what he was going there to do. So he could boast that he's pursuing his vision because he had faith, the clarity, the details, the content of that vision. So if I don't know why, you know, I make an example, an analogy of the body. The eye exists to see. The leg exists to walk. The ear exists. So the vision of the ear is his ability to hear and hear clearly, that he can analyze the details. So for every man, are you a pastor? There was something God called you. Kenneth Hagin was called to teach faith. And when you mention that man, it is faith. We know that this is what that man existed in the body called the church. You talk about Paul Apostle. God called him and sent him. Yes, he was also a minister. He preached the word of God. But he was sent to the Gentiles. So his message, his assignment was to take the gospel, the preaching to the Gentiles. You talk about Joseph. He told them, the brothers, you meant it for evil. But God, don't bother about yourself. But God was the one who sent me ahead of you to preserve life. So my assignment in Egypt, coming to Egypt, was I was a prophet staying before time, so that when the famine comes, I will preserve God's covenant people till the famine is gone, so that they can go to the promise, to where God sent them. So he understood his assignment. Mordecai called Esther. He said, you don't know why God has brought you. That's it. It's not about being a queen. There was a purpose that God sent you there to preserve life. You see, if you don't understand this purpose and act out, you say God will send salvation. And immediately Esther understood that. He called for fasting. And he succeeded. So you see that if I cannot clearly define what I am existing for, it means that I can't run for the vision, because the vision is not clear. You see, he that should run should first sit down, get the details, write the vision, understand the details, bullet it. So that having understood, he can start the journey. So every building must have the blueprint before the structure. So because of time, the second aspect is the way of vision. Now, God does not send any man everywhere. Vision is location based. There are specific places that carries a destiny. That if we miss those places, we can't be relevant. Imagine the eye that chooses to function inside the belly. No matter how he opens the eyes, it tries to see. It can't lead the body because positionally he have missed it. So to run the vision, I must understand where of my vision. Where did God send me to? I talk about Paul Apostle, that God called him to preach the gospel, like he called Peter, like he called other apostles. But to him, the way, you know, at times way may not be just physical location. It may be a people. He was sent to the Gentile. That was his location. And every time Paul went to preach to the Jews, there was always problem. He's always humiliated. Why? Because he missed his divine location. So there is every man, there is a place. Some God send them to schools. Some God send them to business. Even as pastors, there are some that are called to youth. Yes, you preach the whole gospel, but yet you are sent to specific people. There are some that were sent to the sick, to the burden. If you don't define, you are a businessman. God did not call you to sell everything. You sell building material. You sell computer. No. To run the vision. The vision has details. The vision has location. So you must be able to understand, where did God send me to? Who did God send me to? Those details help us run purposely. Another issue. You know, Moses was sent to Egypt. Daniel was sent to Babylon. Everyone sent has a defined location. So it is that man say, I will sit down to hear what the Lord to see. So the place of waiting is a place where we collect the details. It was when he got the details, he said, he collated. He said, he wrote them down. He had the details. At times there is a temptation to run before the details. How will a man run without knowing the address of where he's going? You know, Solomon talked about a young man who wasted his talent, his land, effort. He was going to a city. He didn't know how to. He couldn't define the city. So everyone has a place in the body, specific area. That is where your voice counts. That is where you become valuable. That is where people know you. Paul could reach the Gentile because he understood where God sent. Hallelujah. The third thing is the wind of a vision. A vision is in phases. So, if I don't understand the timing, I will mess it up. It's possible to run, yet without results. But to have divine results, to attain destiny according to the agenda of God, I must understand divine timing. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, say, for everything under the sun, every means every, nothing left out. There are two things, there are purpose and there are timing. Season. Season talk about a duration of time in your destiny, in a vision, that certain things have to be done. So if you miss that timing, because this season is supposed to build an aspect of the vision that will qualify you to graduate to the next level. For example, Paul said, when he pleased God, to choose me and send me. So there was a time he was chosen, and there was a time he was sent. When he understood that he was chosen, he knew that he needed to prepare. So he understood the time for preparation. And the Bible says he went to the desert of Arabia for 3 years learning. So the Paul that wrote almost half of the New Testament would not have achieved that if he had missed the time of training. Because after that season has passed, if you have not graduated, it means you can't advance to the next level. Even if you are there, you will lack what it takes, because that season supposed to have built grace, capacity, knowledge, wisdom, experience that will help you function, achieve that vision in the next stage. So vision are progressive. So if I don't understand the timings, time to sow, time of learning, times of correction, he said in Galatians 4, verse 1, he said, a child, though a hair, does not differ anything from a slave. If he doesn't mature, so the maturity is tied to staying under tutors and governors. So he need to be trained as a child, yet to become a son, there are learnings, there are experiences, there are exposures. It's just like somebody that wants to be, the vision is to be a lawyer, and you enroll in the university. First year, there are courses, the foundational courses they teach you. Second year, they graduate. So if you miss the first year, you didn't attend the first year, the kind of lawyer you will be starting from second year, something will be wrong with it, because there are phases you're supposed to gradually grow into. So vision, you grow into visions. You don't jump into vision. How do you grow? Maximizing the essence of each season of your destiny. So if I miss season, you know, in school, now what I hear in school, you know, at times there is carryover. But in the school of the spirit, if you don't pass the season, you can't carry, that work is not wrought in you. You can't become. So understanding that in every vision, there are seasons, and these seasons are for specific purpose that builds capacity, wisdom, and knowledge, experience that help us to excel in the next lesson. And the last one is the how. The how. The how talks about method, talks about strategy. God does not depend on human wisdom. God never called a man, gave a man a vision, and expect him to use his own strategy to fulfill it. So he said, I will stay at my watch, wait on God to give me a vision. Show me the way, give me the how. How am I going to go about it? What is the process involved? What do I do first before the other? Hebrews says, Hebrews 6, chapter 6, verse 1. He said, leaving the elementary doctrine of Christ, he said, let us move forward. He begin to mention things repentance from dead work. He mentioned baptism, you know, all those things. But he said, living, advancing, progressing. So you can't talk about baptism when the issue of repentance from dead work has not been dealt with. Because it is after that repentance from dead works that you are even qualified to be baptized. It is like somebody learning a language. Number one, you don't even know the alphabet. You want to talk about sentences. So there is a process. You don't even know about, you are talking about who a doctor is. You want to talk about different kinds of doctors. You skip process. So, in fulfilling visions, there is the how, the method of God. The Bible says the standard of the Lord, the foundation of the Lord, stands sure. That foundation is talking about the standard, the process, the strategy of God, the programming of God. You can't bypass it. So when God calls a man to do something, there is how, the method he wants that man to do to succeed. That's why the Bible, God so loved David. He called him the man after my heart. David will fight the Philistine. He will go and inquire from God. Say, how do I? God say, pursue. Do this, and he will follow. He want to fight the same people again. He will not say, okay, there was a method I used. He will go back to God. I say, God, these people have come. How do I go? The how, the method, the ways. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, if you get the way wrong, you can't arrive at the truth. Because the way is what leads to the truth. If I miss the way, I can't arrive at the truth. If the truth have not have its way in me, that life that the way brought me to the truth cannot be established in me. Every business, there is the how of that business. Every business is peculiar. If you are selling fish, there are methods that you can apply with somebody selling rice. If you are called as a pastor, there are the dealings of God in that man that is different with how God is dealing with another person. So, that's the way copying methods become dangerous, because the method that God is using with me, God gave me, it was because he took into consideration my temperament, the kind of person, the details of my assignment, the way of my assignment, the place. So, if I want you want to copy the method, it means you started wrong. You can't run successfully. So having said that, I just generalized everything so that I don't just deal with the focus on the pulpit ministry, so that somebody will not I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, so what about my own? So I want to close with this. There are about four secrets that unlock just what I just mentioned. But I want to just speak briefly about one. Then I will allow for question. Number one that I want to talk about in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4. Paul said that the mature, those who are running well, who have learned the what, the how, they went the way. He said they have their senses exercised by use. I want to talk about spiritual senses. God that we are dealing with is a spirit. The assignment of God, the vision of God for you is spiritual. So it is not book knowledge. There is a place for book knowledge. It is not university education. There is a place for that. That will unlock your vision. There are things that God has embedded in our spirit, which is called the spiritual senses. Number one, I hope we understand that we are not just human. We are spirit beings having human experience. So for a human being, there are about five senses God gives that man. And when these five senses are working, and he has the blueprint right, this man will fulfill destiny. In the same way, there are spiritual senses that God has given a believer, a child of God, beyond the physical senses that an unbeliever has, that help him to transact his vision with God. Whatever God will show you, he won't show you with these physical eyes. They are spiritual eyes. That's why in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, at the end of the message to every of the churches, God will say, he that have ears, let him hear. So one of the spiritual senses that God gives a believer is hearing, spiritual hearing, spiritual ears. Matthew 13:15. He said, blessed are your ears for they hear. Blessed are your eyes for they see. So, sight, spiritual sight and spiritual hearing is a blessing of a believer. It's not money. It's not human connection. It is that sight that you will transact with. You will discern the how, the when, the where. That is where you say, I will wait to hear. How do I hear? How do I see? When my ears, my inner ears, because God does not speak to my physical ears. He speaks to my spiritual senses. To my spiritual senses. That's how he leads. The witness of God is through these instruments, either by sight, either by hearing, either by perception. The Bible talks about Paul Apostle, that when Barnabas took him to the disciple, you know, they were afraid, this dangerous man, was he pretending? And this Paul just spoke with them. And the Bible says they received the grace of God and gave him what? The hand of fellowship. They didn't see any vision, but they perceived. So there was a spiritual sense called perception. And because of that perception, they knew that he was genuine. So if we want to run the vision, one of the areas we must, as a believer, grow progressively is in making sure that our spiritual senses are activated and they are accurate, they are serviced daily, that we can hear him correctly, we can see him correctly, even when he prompts us. We don't say, after this issue has happened, we say something told me. It wasn't something. It was the leading, but we didn't understand the leading. So learning how God leads us individually. What are the basic senses, spiritual senses, that are most active as a person, that when God wants to communicate with me, these are the channels. If he wants to talk to me about the vision, will he get me? In a Job, God was crying. He said, once have I spoken. He said, God has spoken once and again, but the people did not hear. But in the mercy of God, God had to wait for them, that when they went to sleep, he entered their dreams and sealed the instruction. So God was waiting all this while to pass the instruction. But the senses couldn't capture the frequency. We couldn't interact. So for to run well the vision, the frequency of heaven must not only be open. There are spiritual senses in our antenna must be effective and active enough to capture the messages, the images, the visions, the directing, the prompting, the guidance that the Spirit of God brings our way. If we get this right, we will be making steady progress in our vision. So I will stop here to allow for a question, a contribution. Praise the Lord. Hope I'm not putting so many things together.